welcome to the Inspired Intentions podcast with Skyterra Wellness. If you've been too busy and not taking care of yourself, it's time to reset habits and plunge into your new normal. I'm your host, Jeff Ford, and I'm joined today with my co-host, Rachel Colsina.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey.
Just us today.
Just us.
It's nice.
I always like to be selfish and just have some episodes with just us and our executive producer.
Gotta have him here.
Yeah, it's crucial.
Yeah. Hey, I have a question for you.
Yeah, shoot.
If you think about everything that you do on a daily basis, not just you, but humans in general, what percentage of all of those activities would you say are done habitually, completely without thought?
It's got to be at least 30%. At least.
Yeah. Would you believe that it's 45%?
I would believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 45% of what people do every day, they don't even think about it.
Completely automatic. It's just
happening.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what we're talking about today, of course, is habits. But what we're talking about even more so is taking control for almost half of what we do every day, which is pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm. Super powerful. Because when we take control of half of what we're doing, we're probably going to be half as great as we can be.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Jeff, I know you are a master at habits.
I am maybe not a master. I do want to be pretty vulnerable. I think just like everyone else, I have difficulty creating habits in my life. However, I am a master at wanting to learn about them, about them, and share some of these methodologies that are out there with changing our lives. I think it's one of those things, like, we don't teach this in high school or college.
Yeah, of course.
So something important to talk about.
You know, we did an episode together a while back on our morning routines. And I think we did start to touch on habits in that. Has your, of course, your lovely daughter Mia is older now.
Yes.
So I know your routines have changed. How are you incorporating habits and new habits into your life?
The big thing that has happened with this shift in my life is I've had to rearrange where those habits fit into the day. They're not happening at those same times that they used to. However, I'd say I've almost, just like when you think of that phrase, like give something you want done to a busy person, I've been able to kind of rewire where they fit into the day, given the, you know, responsibilities at home and taking care of this beautiful little girl now.
Yeah.
So yeah, shifting would be my word is what was needed with this life transition.
So I think going into this episode, it'll be really interesting because you have not only experience, I mean, you're looking to build habits, but you have recently had to change, rework a lot of your habits.
Way more street cred as we get into this. Way more. I get it. Having a child is difficult. I'm starting to learn.
Yeah. Yeah. But she's pretty great.
She's so cute.
Yeah.
I'm so lucky.
Yeah. She's the best.
Yeah.
So let's get into it.
Let's do it. Let's definitely start to figure this out and throw out those tips.
So where would you like to start? I mean, why do habits exist? Why do we have habits, good or bad?
I think habits in the first place exist for numerous reasons. So one reason they might exist is because we've always done them that way. So you do your habits because this is how you've always, you know, had your breakfast at this time, your lunch at this time, your dinner at that time.
Feels comfortable.
Yeah. And so part of it is your history. Part of it is the repetition of it over time. And so I think that's how habits, like, at least initially take place. The second thing I think habits can sort of stem from is when we have certain things that we need in our life, like certain rewards that we're not getting from how busy we are. We start to have responses that are kind of hit by cues and triggers that lead us into doing these things that we don't want to be doing.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean is I think there's always, you know, this concept of good and bad habits. And we want to be careful with that. There's this idea out there. It's from a recent book that I've read, Atomic Habits. I know everybody's heard me speak about this. James Clear, he's got a blog on habits and he's kind of like the resident expert these days.
Links in the show notes.
Yeah, for sure. And probably it's my most recent read that is really my favorite in regards to this good or bad conversation. And so, of course, habits develop for different reasons, but this whole habit scorecard idea is when you're looking at maybe why habits exist in your life, you go through and you don't label them as good or bad. You put pluses sign where these habits are serving you. Then you put minus signs where these habits are maybe not serving you, doesn't mean essentially bad. It just means that you've fallen into this routine for whatever reason. That can be from your environment. That could be from people in your life. That could be from your work. It could be any of these things that sort of come up as we live our life. And then the last thing you can actually put there is an equal sign, is what James Clear suggests. And so that's kind of a nice place for starting, is like, I think habits, long story short, happen for a number of different reasons. And so it really takes some reflection on why are we doing what we're doing in the first place.
So I like your reframe of that. Instead of thinking this is a good habit, this is a bad habit that I need to change, mm-hmm. it's whether or not sounds like this is serving my life right now. So plus, yes, it's serving it. Minus, no, meaning maybe it did in the past, mm-hmm. but it's not right now. Yeah. And then what would be equal? Kind of neutral?
Equal would be neutral. It's not something you feel like is getting in the way. And it's not something that needs like immediate change for you to become your new identity, for you to become the person that you want to be. And this is really important about habits. And I know we're going to talk about it, but when you think about habits, it's all about grooming your new identity. It's not necessarily about the outcomes. And that's where a lot of people go wrong with habits, is they think about putting something into their life because they're after a certain outcome. But when that outcome is achieved, it's not like you're going to go back to how you were before. We want that habit to still take place in your life.
What do you mean by a new identity?
So this is something that I've really reflected on a lot lately. I've kind of spiced up our Inspired Intentions class. And I always tell our guests, this is a class for our listeners. We do it every Friday. And it's probably the class that I heavily work on the most, because when you think about folks coming to SkyTerra Wellness, they may be with us a week, couple weeks. Regardless of what their goals are and the outcomes that they're looking for as a result of their week, everybody wants to change. And so just without going too far off topic, I've sort of added in a new process of thinking about this beginning phase of building habits, where a lot of the time I just spoke about the why, which was famously coined by Simon Sinek. He's written a book called It Starts With Why, which is a really great place to kind of begin in thinking about why you want to achieve that outcome. But what I found was missing was this concept of, well, okay, you need a really strong why. You really need the motivation to get you started and to, of course, keep you going. However, what happens when we truly build habits that are sticky and that stay with our life, you actually change your entire identity. You're changing who you are, because that's the type of person you want to be.
So you're starting with the reason why before you paint the picture of what you want as your new identity?
Yeah, so let's break it up in like the rule of three. So most people, when they're thinking about the new habits that they want to build, they start with the outcomes that they want. That would actually be the last step that we suggest. In that you might come up with those outcomes first, but that's going to be the last thing that actually gets achieved. So when you think of like weight loss, less stress in your life, improved fitness and stamina, all of those things are going to happen as a result of the new person you want to be. So most people start with outcomes. It's okay to start there. But then what we want to do is follow that up with, who do you want to be? What is your new identity? Are you the type of person that no longer skips workouts? Are you the type of person that shows up and is more consistent for those things that are important to you? And that's what I'm talking about with like kind of that identity shift. The why is where I would start, though. I still fully believe in that, is that if you don't understand why you want to change, it's very difficult for that to elicit the internal like motivation that you're going to need to kind of make those votes every day towards your new identity.
So the steps, what I'm hearing is you start with why.
Yeah.
Why you want to change. Mm-hmm. The second step would be almost filling in the blank. I want to be the type of person who blank.
Perfect. And that's actually on my template when through this class now.
We're in sync.
Yeah. It's like, just to give a couple examples here, is you've mentioned this concept of like an athlete. And so like an athlete is a new identity. I know that doesn't resonate with just everybody who's maybe starting an exercise program or a fitness program, but you might be wanting to exercise and get into shape so that you become an athlete.
Sure.
And so that's a good reference there. Or even let's take it to like something that's a huge achievement in people's lives. One thing I talk about a lot is wanting to write a book.
Yeah.
But instead of me thinking that I want to write a book, how I need to be thinking is I want to become a writer.
I want to be the type of person who's a writer, who's an author.
I want to be the type of person who every day writes something down that's going to benefit people. So that would go a little bit deeper with like the type of writing I want to be or the type of person I want to be. But instead of, you know, just being someone who writes, you want to be someone who becomes a writer. You want to be someone who doesn't skip workouts. You want to be someone who puts your health first.
And then once you've identified that, then the outcome comes after that.
Yes. And that's the struggle, is we all always are geared towards outcomes first. Hmm. It's not anyone's fault. But when you think about this, the only reason you're going to stick to your habits is that you become that person. And outcomes, when we get there, that's the fallacy, is actually not that much changes. Say your weight does go down by 20 pounds, or say you are in shape, what actually changes is your identity, not that achievement. It's why is that weight loss going to make a difference in your life? Like, how are you going to feel when you get there? And who's the type of person you're going to be? And so there's a lot of kind of intensity to this conversation, because it's super important to know that the outcomes are going to happen. And it's really about those small micro steps you're going to take every single day to really fulfill those intentions.
Jeff, are those small micro steps the habits?
They are. They are. And so it's when we work backwards, that's kind of more of that higher level thinking of like, okay, let's go through, why do we want to change? What's going to be our new identity? What are the outcomes we want? Great. That puts us in a place where then we're ready to put these tiny habits into our life, so that they can create more of what James Clear refers to as compound interest in our life.
And just if I can take a step back, you mm-hmm. have mentioned getting habits to stick, this idea of sticky habits. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, to kind of back up on that is you're not necessarily a product of your goals. You're a product of your systems.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, and I totally stole that from Atomic Habits, most likely. I'm really good at reading things and then saying them slightly different. So I definitely want to give credit to the references that we're giving out there. But it's a really powerful point. And I'm very systems minded. And so I think that is what makes it pretty, not effortless, but makes it a little bit easier for me to compartmentalize how I'm going to actually build the habit. Do I think most people are wired that way? Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. Everybody's different. But when we're trying to create that new normal, trying to get to those outcomes, you really have to build systems within your life so that it gets to that place that, like where you led this podcast, Rachel, where you said we get it to that place where it's in that 40%. Because then we're not relying on willpower. We're not relying on motivation, which we've clearly defined as kind of like the weather in previous
yeah.
podcasts.
Yeah. Jeff, do you have an example of maybe something you can share with our listeners, the systems that you have in place?
Yeah. So a recent habit, this was a while back now, however, it's going really well. We've spoken about our run streak before, which I was surprised how natural that one has been going. However, this one is a little bit more specific, where I do this thing, it's called showering. Have you
what?
Heard of this?
Yes.
Yeah. So most people have, hopefully. I heard high schoolers don't have the best hygiene.
I heard that too.
Yeah, I heard that recently. And what's interesting is I learned this as a little bit of a strategy, and I've really found that it works great, in that if we're trying to take that small step and create a system, what you can do is habit stack.
Habit stack.
Yeah, this is a formula. And again, from these resources we've shared, you can go further into reading about this. But it's really, you take that current habit that might have been a plus sign for you on the habit scorecard, and then you put the new habit that you want to put in place right after that habit that you're already doing. And I think showering is a good example when I do this habit, I put clothes on before I go to the habit. So it's actually two habits. And this is important for listeners to know. The new habit that I've built is my breath work.
Mm.
And this is something guests will ask me about a lot when I'm on campus. Guests are still surprised that I teach Connect. I don't know why.
Can you describe Connect?
So Connect is this class we do every single morning. And I really would say it's kind of one of the cornerstones of our program that does separate us from maybe other retreats out there. It's stretching, it's breathing, it's slowing down, it's letting your food digest before the day. It's 30 minutes in length. So we combine stretching, we combine breathing, We might be combining different movements that different instructors will be teaching. So it varies every single day, but the theme is slowing down, connecting to your breath, and really taking care of that body in the morning. And this is something that I was personally struggling with, where Wednesdays I always teach Connect, and I'm like, yes, in the win column for the habit. So I was like, I was relying off like the teaching, which definitely is a great forum, but it was difficult for me to put the breath work with all the other things I was doing into my life. So I habit stacked it. And then what I also did is I kept it to 5 minutes or less in the beginning. And
your breathwork practice.
The breathwork practice. And I've got an app on my phone. There's lots of apps out there that you can mess around with breathwork. We've got some references on skyterrorathome.com where you could look into.
You can take a Connect class
in the
privacy of your own home.
Yeah. And so I think the big thing is now it's pretty routine at this point. I mean, what's so cool about it is I always shower in the morning. It's one, good for your hygiene from what I've heard. And you don't
Hygiene's
smell.
Good. Yeah.
And like
good.
When you come to the podcast room, people are still your friends.
Yeah. So that, it is a tiny room.
Yeah. You definitely want to shower on those days. However, second to that point, that 5 minute kind of side of things made it really doable in the beginning. And because that habit was already automatic, it was in that 40% that we're discussing, 45, excuse me. It started to make more sense and become a little bit easier as something I just did versus like tried to squeeze in.
Sure. You know? So because you stacked your breath work, which was new, mm-hmm. after two already existing habits, which mm-hmm. were shower and dress,
yep.
you've been able to be more successful with it.
Yes. And I think that's super tangible for hopefully some of our folks who are listening today is like habit stack. I am a believer. I think it really works. And keeping it small in the beginning is super important.
So if I'm looking to add some new habits in, what was the process that you took to get to adding in that breath work? The identification, of course, of habits that already existed. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, identifying the person that you wanted to be. What other mental processes have you gone through or would you recommend mm-hmm. that people go through as they're starting to change their habits, add in new habits, et cetera?
Yeah. As individuals are starting, you definitely don't want to work on too many at one time. That's kind of the domino effect in its essence, where if we can line up two dominoes and we hit those two dominoes down, like that second domino gets moving, we're going to have 50% more energy in the right direction. So that's physics. We've discussed this before.
Yes.
So don't do too much in the beginning. Second, I think it is great to take a step back. And why do you really want to do the habit? I think oftentimes people think like, well, I need to lose weight because my doctor told me to, or I need to manage my stress because my family hates me, whatever it is. I think for me, it was a lot of the reflection side of things on, here's the things I'm doing really, really well, and here's where I think I really need to improve. And part of that, I mean, you guys know me pretty well, is to slow down a mm-hmm. little bit more.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's why the breath work was really important to me. And it's been super therapeutic. I mean, I think I start my day more focused. I have better energy. And I'm just in that state of calm that I was trying to induce. So I think I did think a lot about how my day was going to go. And this is an important concept that we should go through is like this idea of a keystone habit or a chain reaction habit.
Let's talk about that. What is a keystone habit?
So this will be our third reference, hopefully our final reference of the podcast, because I always think maybe folks just want less references.
You give good references, Jeff.
I think they're practical.
And these will all be in the show notes.
All in the show
notes. I've got you.
Just like we're talking about, don't read all of them at once. This was the original habit book, though, and I do want to give credit where credit's due because Charles Duhigg, he wrote a book called The Power of Habit. And this was the first book that I really read on habits that led me to some of these others. And then when you read, you kind of cross-contaminate, and it helps you understand concepts better. That's what I really love about reading. Long story short, there's a whole section on a keystone habit. And so a keystone habit, as he phrases it, is it's one of those habits that when you do it, makes everything else go better. Hmm. Everything else just is way smoother. And so our example of this breathwork technique is I feel like I'm more present for my day. I'm more focused for the day. I'm ready to kind of tackle things. And I love to work at a high level. I love to work like, you know, from a performance standpoint. And so with that, that's kind of what the keystone habit is like find that first keystone. What's that first stone you've got to put in place? And it will start to drive those other things that you want to be different, have different about your life.
Did you see, you know, as you were noticing changes throughout the day after you implemented the breath work, did you see that as a win? Was that something that you were keeping track of?
Huge win, similar to the run streak. I like my little whiteboard.
Yeah.
And tracking's important. I don't think we talk about tracking enough. We have in other episodes. When you're building habits, it's important to have the right frame of reference for your tracking. So like, let's just take calories, for instance. Mm-hmm. If you're going to track calories and you start judging yourself as a result of what you're putting into your mouth, that's where we have to be careful with tracking. However, a lot of the literature that I've come across just in building habits is for those first 2 to 3 months, it's really important to have some sort of tracking around it. And this goes back to building the system. And so it gives you actually a sense of gratification when you think about it, that I did this today for me. I get to check that box. And so I know we talk about that anecdotally with things we do, but that kind of repetition for your brain of just checking in each day will really, really help build the habit.
Because you have momentum
mm-hmm.
and you're moving forward.
And you're able to see it. Something that's important about habits is like you've got to make them satisfying in the beginning. Like you've really got to make them satisfying for them to stick.
And back to your example, satisfying for you was, wow, I feel better throughout the day.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for me right now, and I think hopefully for a lot of our listeners, it is more so about feeling better. I think that's such a much more powerful way of driving behavior change is when you get connected to how you feel and those improvements that these habits do make when you do them.
And we've talked about that before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What about this? I heard you bring up this idea of compound interest. So, so this idea that changes kind of build on each other. Can you say more about that?
Yeah, I think a good analogy or kind of example here is when you think of like building your retirement fund. You don't, you know, put that $100 in each month and become a millionaire at the end of the week.
Right.
Is that it really takes time. And it's a similar conversation with like, you think of like financial health for individuals. Not many people. I mean, there's very few people who are like instantly rich. Either they've put a lot of time into the work that they're doing. Like nobody's an overnight success is kind of what I'm explaining.
Right.
It's going to be those small votes that you make to yourself to become the person you want to be.
I love that. Small votes.
Yeah. Another James Clear reference. I've stolen so much from his book because it's super powerful. It's like, it's more about just vote for yourself every day. Stop overthinking it.
I love that.
And vote for yourself because right now, I mean, the political climate could be causing stress. Sure. So focus your voting on yourself.
I like that.
Yeah. I think that's okay.
And then where are you headed? So we have, you know, we have your new habit. How long did it take you to build that is part of my first question. And then once it's built, what happens next?
Great. Yeah. So as far as length of time, I think it's very personal. There's no conclusive evidence I've come across, you know, in different references and scholarly articles per se. But I do think it's going to be closer to that 66 days side of things, like 60 plus days
and
is
it's
pretty
yours.
Important. And it's yours. Yeah. And it's more about really being consistent and getting the repetition in the beginning than it is about the duration. And so all I'm saying with that is just tell yourself it's 5 minutes in the beginning because that what seems seemingly unimportant today will be drastically important a year from now. Like just think you take 5 minutes to breathe every single morning for 365 days. Like how awesome are you going to feel at the end of that year?
Sure.
And so I think that's where it's tough in the beginning, but at least 2 to 3 months to answer your first question. And then second to that, remind me of the next step we want to take.
Before we get to that, yeah. I just wanted to stop for a second.
Can you see how excited I am?
Yes, I know you
habits?
Love your habits. So just to go back to your example of over a year, how much better your life will be, just if we can quantify that a little bit. So you've said when you focus on breath work, you feel more present, both at work probably and at home. Mm-hmm. And so think of maybe over the course of the year, the improved interactions that you've had with people, maybe some additional things that you've been able to accomplish at work, building of relationships at work, things that have happened at home. That's not... it was 5 minutes, mm-hmm. but again, over the course of a year, that's what we're talking about is yeah. how this is going to add up.
Yeah. And to echo kind of like the differential end of this is like the cost of your bad habits are in the future. That's what's interesting is like if you don't focus on that daily vote each day to the good habits, like the future isn't going to be where you want it to be. And I think it's super powerful to think about like that is nobody literally wakes up and like when they're 20 or 30, they're not like, I better be fit today so that my knees don't hurt when I'm 60.
Right.
Or I better eat these fruits and vegetables when I'm between the ages of 30 and 40 so that my cholesterol is awesome when I'm 70.
Right.
And so that's what's interesting is the good habits, though, and not to use those references, but the ones that are serving you, those are the types of habits that you actually can feel instantaneously. And they don't cost you, like they you feel them in the present. You don't actually, you will see them pay off in the future. But we tend to kind of have that delayed gratification with seeing the outcomes that we're looking for.
Right. Especially, again, I think that's a really important point and I want to repeat it, mm-hmm. which is the cost of your bad habits doesn't come due until the future.
Yep.
And that's what we're talking about.
Delayed return environment. And then that goes both ways. That's the struggle, I think. I've been in this weight loss side of things for so long and it's tough to tell someone, hey, just stay patient with your weight loss. Stay patient. But when you echo that kind of an example, it's a really good one in that you're going to feel so much better in your body a year from now if you just focus on the systems that you need to create so that you're not constantly like, why am I on this roller coaster? Why am I always stressed out? Why am I always saying yes to things I should be saying no to?
So how we get there?
Mm-hmm.
We did talk about your habit stacking, which is one.
Yeah.
And then something that I heard you say is the key is repetition.
Yes.
Just you mentioned that 5 minutes.
Don't worry about the time domain. Do not worry about it.
Okay.
It's more about like specifically for your brain. When we talk about the science of habits, it's more about your brain knowing what you're going to do and when you're going to do it and keep building that repetition.
So it sounds like you're saying habits form on frequency.
Frequency, for sure.
Not on duration.
Not on duration. And that was a big kind of revelation for me after looking into more of these resources is like, not that we're tricking the brain, but if we want the brain to really become automatic for those habits that are serving us, we've got to really just not care about the duration in the beginning and care more about the frequency.
So the question that I had asked a while ago, which you had asked, and then I interrupted myself, which sometimes happens when it's just the two of us on the podcast.
You get so excited.
I know.
The walls close in. We've said this before. And you're on. It's totally cool, though.
So once the habit is in place, so your breathwork habit is in place, is the next step, I'm going to come up with another habit? Or what would you recommend for people?
That's an interesting question because when you think of like the concept of life, we're all in different seasons of our lives, you know, depending on our age, depending like new baby arrivals, those sorts of things. I think it's important to make sure you're not putting too much on yourself in certain periods of your life. Now, that's not a cop out to say never be building habits. I do think we should always be building habits. But what's important about this is to be realistic with the time that you actually do have to build those habits. And maybe this isn't the year that you run a marathon. Maybe this is the year that you get really consistent with your 2 days a week at the gym.
Right.
And so with that, yeah, just making sure that you're aligning things in a way that aren't, when you're choosing habits, don't choose too many at once. And then evaluate where you are on kind of that spectrum of like, I think people should always be growing individually. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the purpose of living, just in my opinion. However, there's no specific number if that's getting closer to your question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then just for people to keep in mind too, just bringing us back to that idea of compound interest. So you've implemented 5 minutes a day, just knowing that a year from now, maybe you aren't running the marathon this year specifically, but you've still made great changes in a positive way.
Yeah. You've made progress for what made sense for you at that period of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So strategies, Again, we've talked about that habit stacking. We talked about repetition, not perfection.
Ooh, I got another one.
Yes.
Implementation formula. This goes back to tracking, and then I think we've thrown out some good steps here for sure. Implementation formula, this is one that I've classically done. When I think back to my history with building a fitness routine, obviously that's where I kind of started with this journey. I would always in my planner write down the time and what I was going to do on each day and where I was going to do it.
Ahead of time.
Ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And so this is what's called the implementation formula. And I think you do have to get this specific in the beginning. It's not a word we've used yet. We've said realistic, but you have to be specific. I will do this behavior at this time and in this environment. I think when you leave new habits to chance, it's really hard for those votes to be a little bit easier to make in the beginning.
The votes for yourself?
Yeah, yeah. So you've got to really set yourself up for success. Have a plan around your habits. This is a phrase that I've sort of coined. I think it's an acronym. I'm not sure if I'm saying it right. But it's called the three Ps. And this, I think, can apply to habits. Plan, prepare, and then proceed.
Nice.
Yeah.
Plan, prepare, proceed.
And I think that is what we're talking about with this implementation formula, is have a plan around it, prepare for what you need to do so it makes it easier for you to execute on it. That's the thing with habits. You have to make it easy. If you don't make it easy, well, we're just going to be on that roller coaster, wishing those things that are the habits we want to lead, the life we want to live, they're just going to kind of get stuck in the muck.
And possibly judging ourselves.
Yeah, that's the cycle I think we're all in some capacity. We're not maybe, to that extreme of like, oh man, like I'm just not doing anything right. But there's always something that I think each of us want to improve on. And that's what's cool about habits, is that maybe you're just not approaching your habits in the way that you should be or could be doing to make it become that I want to versus that like I should do this. That's some phrasing that folks should be careful with, is like, you got to make it satisfying or you're not going to repeat the experience.
What do you mean by make it satisfying?
We've said that a little bit. It's more like if you hate lean class, like you hate doing high intensity workouts, well, that's probably not the way to build your fitness habit.
Yeah.
Like if you're not a fan of yoga, well, maybe yoga isn't where you start. Like same thing with nutrition. I think there's a play with that where, yes, we have guidelines. We have ways that we want to get people closest to eating that's going to support their health. However, there's going to be certain foods that people don't like, or there might be ways we can make those foods more satisfying so that people then want to repeat adding more fruits and vegetables into their diet per se.
And would you say that's the key, that desire to want to repeat, that desire for repetition?
Very much in the beginning. If it's not satisfying it, you won't repeat. You won't repeat it.
And then after a while, possibly after the 60 days or the 66 days, then there's a different reason.
100%. Yeah, I think the reasons do evolve, but it always goes back to your beginning why, the new identity that you're after. And so it's really cool. It's this full circle kind of like evolution of the changes you make.
This is great, Jeff.
Yeah. Hope we've thrown out some good advice for people to at least start with. There's much more, but I think habits should probably be a regular podcast.
I think so too. So before I summarize, if you could give people maybe one or two things that they should start to do or places that you suggest that they begin this entire process, where would that be or what would that be?
Places as far as?
What should they do?
What should they do?
Should they, take a look at what they're doing now and categorize with the plus or minus or equal, or should they?
Yeah, so I think we could go back to what we originally spoke about. That wasn't proper English. I heard our executive producer doesn't actually speak very good English. He likes to think that he speaks good English, but I've heard him stumble on words too.
But he is a Renaissance man.
He is. So he has like this eloquence to his language.
Yeah. And just a calmness.
Yeah. But there's still some stumbles. Like I've heard it. And I just want to make sure he was aware that he wasn't perfect.
Should bring him back on again.
We might have to, so he can defend himself. Anyways, start with kind of looking at the habits you're currently doing. Maybe you use that plus minus equals. Mm-hmm. Have no judgment around it.
No judgment.
Okay.
That's step one.
Step one, a good place to start. The second thing I'd say is, one more reference.
Oh, four.
Final one of the day.
This is
bonus.
It's
habits. You're always going to get more references around habits. But the 5-second rule, Mel Robbins, really interesting concept is maybe you start with the 5-second rule.
What is the 5-second rule?
So the 5-second rule is anytime you're trying to prompt action in your life, it's a real personal story that she kind of crafted into this way of thinking about habits. And so the read is pretty great. It's a quick one, but I believe there's some talks online where you could look at YouTube videos from Mel Robbins and she explains this further. But count down, like a great example of this is you're trying to work out first thing in the morning.
Mm.
You want to hit the snooze alarm and it's like super hard for you to want to get up. It's not warm out. The gym is far away.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking in your mind all these things that you're going to have to do. You didn't finish certain things on work the previous day. Count down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Get up and do it.
Do it.
And so I think that's a nice rule of thumb that I picked up just from her quick read.
That's great because that's something that you could start to do today.
Give yourself something to focus on as you build the habit. It's difficult in the beginning. That's not what we're saying here. If we're not saying it's easy, but yeah, using a strategy like that. And then also my third tip, I guess, would be is work that implementation formula and think about habit stacking. So I think those were the two really practical places to begin. And maybe you're choosing one or two habits. You could do one that you're trying to implement and then one that you're going to stack. So that could be a great way of conceptualizing those two that you're going to start with.
I like that, Jeff. Anything else you want to share?
No, I think we've really dug in a little bit deeper. In previous episodes, we spoke about the habit loop, which again, we'll want to speak about that further. But this is really practical steps that hopefully you listeners today can just go on out, be the best person you can be, and slowly integrate those habits that you want to be part of your life.
Thanks for making us all better, Jeff.
You're so welcome.
You ready for my summary?
Let's do it.
All right. So in summary, when you're thinking about new habits, you want to start with first your why you want to change. Then you're going to figure out you want to be the type of person who does blank. And then that's going to lead to a type of outcome. Some tips is don't work on too many habits at a time, maybe one or two in the beginning. Try to find those keystone habits, the one that would make everything go better. And tracking is super important. Don't judge yourself. Keep track because that's going to help you build the system. Some really good nuggets that I wrote down that you said, vote for yourself every day. Mm. Love that. And that the cost of your bad habits happens in the future. That's when it comes due. Some things that we can do today is taking a look at your habits, categorize them plus, minus, equal sign. Again, no judgment. Think about that 5-second rule, giving yourself a countdown of 5 when you're starting a new habit. And then thinking about that implementation formula, maybe 2 new habits, how you can stack them especially. How did I do?
You nailed it. We covered a lot.
Yeah, we did.
Went by so fast.
Did. Thanks, Jeff.
Can't wait to talk about habits again real soon.
Yeah, absolutely. The Inspired Intentions podcast is a production of Skytera Wellness Retreat. Special thanks to our executive producer, Alan Broyhill. Send us your questions and comments to inspiredintentions@skyterrawellness.com. Subscribe on iTunes and everywhere podcasts can be found. If someone you know might benefit from this podcast, maybe in starting a new habit, share Inspired Intentions with them and give us a 5-star rating. Join us next week as we cut through the unrealistic noise on diets and fitness and show you how healthy living fits seamlessly into your already busy life. Thanks for listening.